Well, we want to welcome you this morning. Glad that you're here with us in worship this morning. The fellow who normally does this is in Jamaica. They have safely landed. They landed about 10:46 our time, which whatever that is, their time, and because they don't observe daylight savings time. So that's the reason I say their time. They're on the same time zone. They just don't recognize daylight savings. But they are there safely on the ground. He said everyone is doing well. He didn't know if all the luggage had made it yet, but at least they were all there. So that's wonderful. We are glad that you're here with us this morning. This is Palm Sunday. It is a holy day. It really is, and it's a wonderful day. It begins a series of Holy Week services that we want to draw your attention to. Thursday night, first of all, Wednesday night, we will not have family night because the kids are on spring break, and it's our pattern not to do that when they're on spring break. So you can have Wednesday night off, but you come back on Thursday night here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock for our Maundy Thursday services. Very, very meaningful. I know that you'll enjoy being a part of those. Then back here again on Friday night for our Tenebrae service. And that again will be at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary Friday. And then, of course, next Sunday is Easter. And I give you a challenge, and I'll address this a little bit more at the beginning of the sermon. I give you a challenge to invite someone to be a part of the services next Sunday morning for our Easter service. Invite you to do that and challenge you to do that. I've already announced that our youth are safe on the ground, and I want to be sure that you knew that. I also want to announce that Carol and Helen. Where's Carol? Carol, I'm giving you a heads up. This week is your 70th anniversary. Okay? Did you know that? And Helen, bless you. You must be a saint. You must be a saint. We joke about it, but you know, in our culture, it seems like all we hear about marriage is disintegration. And so we want to take this time to value your commitment to one another and your commitment to family. And
he was three.
Carol says he was three when they got married, so... Wow, that's a whole nother issue, Carol. We probably need to have prayer this week, but it is wonderful to have role models like Carol and Helen, and we celebrate with you. And it's Wednesday, right? Do you not know? 70th, so we celebrate that. You should have received a pledge card as well as a letter from me, and I hope that you were warned last Sunday it was coming, so I hope you have an opportunity to read. And I challenge you as we move forward with our facility update, if you can either reply by email if you've got the email, or you can bring your pledge card, mark it appropriately, and place it in the, there's a box at the information center, the welcome center that's there. There's also one inside the church office. And if you have someone that would like for me to come visit with them and tell them a little bit more about it before they fill it out, I'll be glad to do that. Just let me know, okay? So you've got those. We also want to welcome our guests who are here this morning. We've mentioned next Sunday, but we certainly don't want to fail to mention the presence of those who are guests with us this morning. Our ushers are going to begin down toward the front now, and after they arrive at the front, they're going to be walking back up the aisle, and they're going to be looking for you. And you can help them out. If you are a guest with us for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you, but we want to welcome you and let you know that we're glad you're here with us. So if you'll just kind of wave at them or catch their eye or however you feel like you can get their attention there, they've got some information that they'd love to give you about College Park. The ministry's here. There's a letter of welcome from myself in there, and as well as some other information about the ministries of this church. We're delighted that you're here. I hope that you have felt welcome. And I challenge our members, again, look around you, notice where our guests are, and be sure and give them a welcome if you have not already done so. I think that is all the announcements we have. You think of anything else?
The book club book. Is called The Devil in Pew Number 7.
It's called The Devil in Pew Number 7. Okay. All right, we got some there getting ready to move. Habitat build. Habitat Build. If you would like more information about the Habitat Build, it's part of the Baptist Build. There's information in the foyer as you came in. There's also sign-up sheets for work teams once per weekend, excluding next weekend. They're not working Easter weekend, but all the other Saturdays for several weeks. Teams of up to six, so you can sign up out there and be a part of that. Okay? Fantastic. Glad that you're here in worship. We're here to worship. That is a privilege that our God gives us, and we're delighted that you're here to be a part of that. I invite you now to prepare your heart for worship.
Pray. Our Lord and our God, we come this morning singing and shouting our praise because you are worthy of praise. As we come this morning, Lord, we praise you for your self-sacrificing love. Lord, we praise you for the promise of a relationship with you, if he would just choose to have one. Lord, we praise you for the hope of eternity with you forever because of your action on the cross. Lord, we come shouting your praise. Lord, forgive us because we tend sometimes to be a reserved people. And while it's okay to praise quietly, Lord, sometimes we use that as an excuse to sit and do nothing. So, Lord, we come this morning to praise you. Lord, with all of our hearts and all of our souls and our mind and our strength, as we worship together this morning, Lord, be in this place. Lord, enjoy our praise. And Lord, let this service glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was quite a procession. Quite a procession. Did you enjoy that? Yeah, it was kind of cool. We got the palm branches. It's like a parade, isn't it? Let me ask you, how many of you all yesterday, I know there was several of you that were in kind of like a parade yesterday. You know what I'm talking about? That's right. You were walking for Lily's friends. How many of you did that? Raise your hand. You ran? Okay. In the rain, it's probably better to run, isn't it? Get it over with. Yeah. Okay, how many of you did that? Fantastic. Adults, where are you? Those that participated. RAGA leaders, parents, anybody else raise your hand? They're all in the back and they're not raising their hands. They're hiding in the vestibule. But they are involved in missions in the sense of raising money for a wonderful foundation and a wonderful charity, one that is dear to the hearts of many of our people that knew Lily. And so I applaud you all. Hey, fellas, pay attention over here, buddy. Look right here. Here we go. Pay attention to the palm branch. What you're doing out there is significant, okay? I just want you to know that. It really is. Raising, I think it was a little over $2,000. Is that right? Check me in the back. A little over $2,000 for that charity, and that's fantastic. All right? Y'all keep up the good work. It was kind of like a parade, though. How many people were there? Do you know?
A million?
A million? Okay. 2,000? 185? 300, 1,085, 100, at least 100. I bet there were. It was kind of like a parade, wasn't it? Do you like parades? I like parades. I like parade. What's your favorite part of the parade? It didn't have a float. Okay. Well, I mean, it was raining, so there's probably stuff floating in the street. Water, yeah. Yeah. What else? What other parts do you like the parade? When you walked, okay. Okay. When you ran, what do you like in the parade? You like the band? Yeah. Fire trucks? Sheriff's department cars? Yeah. Well, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, that was kind of like a parade too. Did you know that? It was kind of like a parade. He came in, and the scripture tells us that they had palm branches. Now, this is a little bit longer. Over there, they have palm branches that have real long needles. And this is just pretend. But it's something pretty significant I wanted to show you this morning. So I'm going to be working on this while I talk. But as Jesus came in, the Bible tells us that the people were praising him. You know, there was a lot of people there. A lot of things going on. And the people were praising him as he came in to the street. And they had these palm branches, and they were waving those. It also says that they put their coats down on the road. That would have helped yesterday. You could have stayed out of the mud puddles, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There wasn't a mud puddle. Okay, you're on the street. Okay. Well, if all the stuff that was going on with the parade, a lot of things were going on, but Jesus, as he's going through the parade, he knew kind of where all that was headed. Okay? He knew what was going on, and he knew what was going to be happening at the end of the week. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What was going to be happening at the end of the week?
He
died. He sure does. He sure did. And see, he knew that. And so even as the people are waving the palm branches, Jesus is probably thinking, well, I wonder how many of them will be following me when I get to the cross. Yeah. And see, for us, sometimes we like to celebrate. We like parades. We like all the noise and the bands and cheering and all that other stuff. That's the good part. But Jesus reminds us that the reason he came, was not just to celebrate, but also to die. And he died so that we could have eternal life with him. Does that make sense? And the Bible tells us he loved us so much, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins so that when we die, we can live with him forever. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? And what we have to do is say yes to Jesus. Accept him as our Lord and Savior. I know some of you have already done that, and others of you are thinking about that and praying about that. And we want to encourage you to grow in your knowledge of who Jesus is and how much he loves you, okay? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. We thank you for the energy and the excitement that we see in their eyes. Father, we pray that as they grow in their knowledge of you, that you would continue to bless them, encourage them, allow them the peace of knowing how much you love them and that you want only the best for them. God, we pray now that as we celebrate, that we would remember the love that took Jesus to the cross and held him on it. We celebrate the love that and the power that raised him from the dead so that we could even turn to life with you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Yes, you can. Take that with you. You can take that with you. Okay? Okay. All right.
As we enter a time of confession, it's easy to picture ourselves sometimes shouting Hosanna. And we tend to think we would never ever shout crucify him. But we are a lot like the people that as Jesus entered Jerusalem, greeted him with shouts, and then later yelled crucify him. We're fickle people, and we deny Christ. We deny him in our thoughts, and in our words, and in our actions. Remembering the events of Jesus last week helps us to see ourselves as we truly are. We're sinners in need of a Savior who was provided for us, a Savior that we have in Christ. Let's pray now together and confess our sins to God. Our Lord, on this day, you entered the city in triumph, and then later you were rejected. Lord, we confess that our lives are just as rebellious as those of the people of Jerusalem. Lord, we confess that our faith is often more show than substance. Lord, we confess that our hearts are in need of your cleansing. Lord, you came in love, but we are often so unloving. You came for our forgiveness, but we confess, Lord, that we do not forgive others. You came to give us abundant life, but Lord, we confess that we settle for merely existing. Lord, we settle for lives sometimes that are empty of your joy and your peace. Have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us, Savior of our lives. Help us to lay at your feet this morning all that we have and all that we are. Lord, help us to trust you to forgive what is sinful. Lord, to heal what is broken this morning. Lord, to welcome our praises. And Lord, to receive us as your own. In your holy name, Lord, we pray. I invite you to read with me this morning in your order of worship, our assurance of pardon. Let's read it together. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord has answered and set me free. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
Oh, my God. morning. This morning, you heard the choir sing Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and you probably even saw us move a little bit. You saw our children come and wave the branches. I hope your heart is filled with branches of joy and thankfulness today to our Lord. Pray with me, please. Our loving God, our Father, Creator, you are so much to us. So many things you have given us, Lord. We look outside and see your beauty in the springtime. We see the loveliness of the children and in the friends and family that we have. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this loving church family that sends our children off to care for others during their free time, Lord, and we ask blessings on them. Father, we come today during this hour that it's all about you, that we take the distractions and cares and push them aside and concentrate and wave our branches to you, Lord, during this time. We pray that you would use these offerings and gifts that it may be used to your glory. For it's in thy name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Several years ago now, the Barna Research Group, which is founded by George Barna and has done a lot of research in regard to people's opinions, especially within America, about religion and culture and society and all of those. He's a friend of Gallup, and they share a lot of information together. But he released a poll which was a little bit surprising. Earlier, probably 10 years before that, the Billy Graham Association had released some numbers about people's willingness to come to church if invited. Okay, you with me? So in other words, a person that is not a regular church attender, if you invited them to come to church, what would their response be? And the research that Barna released was a little surprising, and he admitted within the context of his writings that even he was a little bit surprised by it, because the number that he came up with was in the high 60 percentile. I don't remember exactly what the number was, maybe 66, 67, 68, something like that. So we'll say 67 just to be safe. So you got 67% of those who were not attending church regularly, if invited to attend on Easter Sunday morning, would say yes. Does that surprise you a little bit? It did me. I don't know. I guess I thought of myself as kind of an optimist, and I thought, well, maybe if just half of them would, that would be a really good number. But 67% said that, yeah, that they would come if somebody would just invite them. And see, that really goes along with what Billy Graham Association has been saying for years, that it's the relationship that brings people to Christ, not the institution. Does that make sense? It's the relationship. Because what we have with Jesus Christ is a relationship. It's not an institution. And so your personal relationship with other people is what interests them in coming and being a part of what we do, and that's worship our Creator. So I say all of that to challenge you once again. Next Sunday morning is a unique opportunity. Also, within the context of that survey material, it laid out other opportunities that we have. Christmas, we could have guessed. Christmas is also a high response time. Christmas and Easter. There's a lot of theorizing why people would still want to come to church at Christmas and Easter when they don't come the rest of the year. Well, we won't get into that. I'm just saying we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. I see on Facebook and some of the other social media, a lot of people are fans of Jesus, or they like Jesus, or they want to follow somebody that's talking about Jesus, or they're fans of the Bible. And that's all fine and good, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But what God wants is something a little bit more than being a fan on Facebook. Agreed? Agreed? All right, very good. We're all on the same page. I'll continue. Mark, if we didn't agree on that, I had a little research to do and get back to you. But Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 is a recording of the triumphal entry. We hear it from all the Gospels. But this morning we're going to read from Mark. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Here's how it reads. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly." They went and they found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let him go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they'd cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Well, at first glance, just reading that in first pass, I know it's a familiar passage, but At first glance, the characters in today's story look like a group of fans. I mean, you've got a mob there. It's a mob scene. Men, women, children, they're singing, they're chanting, they're waving branches, they're throwing their coats on the road to welcome, well, to welcome what? To welcome who? Here's a young man, and he was a young man. 33 was still a young man, riding on a donkey. And you go, wait, what? To the outside observer, you'd say, what's going on? Who is this guy? Who is this man? And what exactly is the crowd chanting? Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. What's that about? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. David who? Hosanna in the highest heaven. What does all this mean? You know, is there more going on here than the usual celebrity chasing or maybe a group that would be processing to the Colosseum for some sort of games or entertainment? You see, I think the people in the crowd knew there was a whole lot more that was happening. This was a significant event. Most of them probably realized that this parade was an epiphany procession, in a sense, because all of the elements were there. All of the elements were coming together that morning for them. You had an honored king of sorts, at least as well as they knew. There was this honored king riding on an animal. Now understand, a donkey was an appropriate mount for a Mideastern king. Okay? It really was. Loyal followers were there. They were smoothing the road out. You know, had branches, and some said they put their cloaks, their coats, you know, to make the road smooth and to hold the dust down. People were chanting praises. They were cheering. It was quite festive, as I told the children. It probably resembled an incredible parade. Incredible. Yes, you see, the crowds recognized Jesus as something special, a king, if you will, but that's about all they got right that day. You see, they were looking for a king who would physically overthrow the Romans and establish an earthly, a political realm. You see, the politics and religion were so intertwined, insert comment here, you know, politics and religion were so intertwined in that day and time that they were looking for someone to free them from all captivity. Roman rule, we can't imagine. We just can't imagine. That's the reason I say insert comment here, because all that you read about the Roman Empire, we can't imagine what some of the people were going through. And they wanted released from that. They wanted a release from that. But see, Jesus had higher intentions. He had a loftier goal than that. You see, for Jesus, the donkey signified kingship, but it also signified humility. It was a beast of burden, the donkey was. So his riding was, it was like a living sermon illustration that the people didn't get. They didn't understand the full impact. They missed the point. But Jesus was symbolically speaking out not only against Roman rule, but also against the privileged attitudes of the high priest and the scribes. The oppression that was being placed on them, not only by a political power, but by a religious political power. And yes, it was Jesus' hope and it was his dream that his people, the people of Israel, would be servants. But he wanted them to be servants of the high God, the one and true God. He did not want them to be servants of any political or social or... Do you understand? He wanted them to be servants in their hearts to serve God, but he wanted to free them. He wanted them to live out the kingdom of God in their hearts and in their midst and have the freedom to do that. You see, this wasn't a new message for him, though. He had been preaching that for 3 years, but the crowd still hadn't got the point. Now, there were thousands of people there, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. As we mentioned last week, it was a feast. You remember the feast? What was it? It's Passover. Yeah. It was Passover. They were here. Tens of thousands of people had come to Jerusalem. A lot of them had come as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to celebrate and to worship in the temple at Passover. Others came yearly. But it was a really big deal. It really was. It was one of the high points in their religious life because they were celebrating God's deliverance from bondage, from imprisonment under Pharaoh. So nothing could have been bigger. But see, it wasn't just being there. It was the journey there. Because the journey to Jerusalem was like a pilgrimage. And at the whole way they were going, they were anticipating what was going to happen. They were excited about this opportunity to worship in the temple. So the journey was just as important as the destination. Just as Lent for us has been important because we anticipate the joy of Easter Sunday morning. Amen? Just as we in Advent anticipate the joy of Christmas. It was a journey for them to that place. It was a time of rejoicing. It was an opportunity for them to reflect upon how God had delivered them out of bondage. And in Jerusalem, the people came so that they could feel more keenly the presence of God. And you couple all of that, and on any other year, that would have been enough. But on this day, as they come together, there's Messiah talk in the air. Jesus comes in a procession. There's Messiah talk. With everything else that's going on in Passover, with all the excitement and anticipation of Passover, you throw in Messiah talk. Expectations could not have been any higher. Expectations could not possibly have been any higher for the Jewish people. Passover and Messiah talk. But Jesus had no such expectations for this week. You see, he knew, as I shared with the children, He knew where this procession was going to end. For some time, he had been trying to tell his followers that this week was going to be unlike any other week. They can't even imagine. The disciples just didn't get it. And who can really blame them? We probably wouldn't have gotten it either. And what was going to happen was so out of their frame of reference that even if they had heard it plainly, and arguably they probably did, they still could not process it. How can it be, Lord? You're the one who heals people. You're the one that makes people who can't walk, walk again. People who can't see, to see again. How is it that this is going to happen? But as the week wore on, it probably became a little more real to them because everywhere they turned, the scribes and the Pharisees kept trying to trap Jesus. They kept trying to trick him some way, somehow, to find a reason to arrest him. And as the week Jesus went on more and more talking about his own suffering and his death, and by Thursday, when the disciples gathered to celebrate Passover, tension probably was at an all-time high. And after supper, we know that Judas slipped out to betray his Lord. We know what happens after that. We'll come together Thursday night to remember together, but you know the story. They come to arrest him in the garden. The disciples, they run to the point where at the cross, it's down to one disciple and a few faithful women. After the crucifixion, they all run and hide in the upper room. They're confused. They're afraid. How did this happen in just one week? We went from celebration, praise, palm branches to this. How did it happen? The cheering crowd and and the ruler entering the holy city on a donkey seemed but a distant memory. And as we look at this scene, and as we read about it from the safety of our own seats, it's easy to picture ourselves as part of the crowd cheering for the king, right? You know, we've entered the sanctuary, we've sung our praises, and that's good. Don't get me wrong, that's good. Luke tells us it's our duty to give praise to God. He says, if we don't, the rocks will cry out. That should give you a little perspective on life. If you don't do it, God will just, the rocks will cry out his praises. And that's good. It's good that we praise God. But perhaps we're too much like the crowd in other ways. If we're honest, a lot of us have agendas in mind for Jesus, don't we? You know, we want an all-powerful king who will help us get what we want out of the deal. You know, we want kind of a king of rock star type status that we can be a fan of on Facebook or follow on Twitter in hopes that just being connected with that will raise our status just a little bit. Really? Is that what it's all about? You know, others have assumed that just because we follow Jesus, we'll be blessed socially, politically, economically, all of those things. We expect that Jesus will overthrow the powers that be on our behalf so it works out better for us. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful that on this day that we're not like the crowd. We're not asking God to meet our own social, political, financial agendas because the temptation is so real. Some of us find that we're like the disciples. Despite Jesus continuing to tell us about the cost of discipleship and the price of following him, somehow we still don't really understand what he's asking out of us. We can't get past our own preconceived ideas to grasp what following really means. It's easy to push a button and be a fan on Facebook. It's easy to follow on Twitter. It's a lot easier to do those things than it is to really serve God. Remember last week we read from John chapter 12. Jesus' words just kept ringing in my head this week. Whoever serves me must follow me. And I would dare say it's accurate that we could flip-flop those and say whoever follows me must serve me. If whoever serves me must follow me. What does that mean? To follow Christ is to strive to be more like him. It means walking daily in his spirit, allowing him to guide us, to teach us, to correct us. Allow him to mold us to be more like him. Perhaps it's helpful to kind of bring all this together and say, we really need to listen to the core of the gospel message. Wherever we find ourselves, it's clear that we're called to be more than cheering spectators in a parade. We are to humble ourselves. We are to serve sacrificially, even as our Lord served sacrificially and taught us to do the same. So the choice is ours. He gives us free will. He gives us free choice. The choice is ours. Will we limit our involvement and commitment to praise and acclamation and social media approval? Do we have our own agendas that we expect God or Jesus to fulfill on our behalf? Do we understand what it really means to be a disciple? Are we more than just fans who lose interest and fade away at the first sign of trouble? Or are we faithful followers? It's a lot of questions. And they're big questions. And they're questions that we need to answer this week as we continue our journey to the cross. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, the chanting, the cheering, the singing, the praise, in many ways, that's the easy part. Because the crowd's all doing it. The service, the sacrifice, the humbling of ourselves, that's the harder part. Because it seems nobody's doing that. We pray that we would seek the path that Jesus showed us and demonstrated. The path of giving of ourselves for your glory. The path of showing love to the unloved, mercy to those who are unmerciful, compassion to those who despise us. It's a tough path, but we know that it's possible and can even be joyful because of the power of your Spirit that dwells within us. God, we thank you for the chance to reflect upon the life that Jesus led and calls us to lead. May we be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pray in Jesus' name and ask Him for help. If you're here this morning, you're not a believer, if you're not a follower, if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. God knew you would be here from the beginning of time. And this would be your day. I'd love to share with you. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And as we do, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't want to come down front but want to talk with me about it, please call me this week. I'll be glad to talk with you and share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For others, you say, well, I'm a believer, Raymond. That's a fantastic celebration. Are we walking the path that Jesus has called us to walk? Are we being faithful followers? That's maybe the bigger issue for most of us. And I challenge you, be honest with God and allow Him to shape you and mold you this morning, to encourage you, to touch those parts of your life that you have not surrendered to Him completely, that He would do that and you'd be faithful to turn those back to Him, to give them over to Him. If you're here this morning, you're saying, well, I really like to be a part of this fellowship. It seems like a great church. I assure you it is. It's a wonderful body of believers. And we'd love to talk with you about ways that we receive members. I'd be glad to speak with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to be honest and open with God as we stand and sing together. encourage you this week, as God gives you an opportunity to invite someone to church next week, that not only will you be faithful and invite them, but you'll have this great sense of joy in doing so. Amen? Do your heads this way. We're all going to look for those opportunities. He's going to give them to us. We just need to recognize them and take advantage of them. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we know that you are a God who supplies all of our needs. You are a God that loved us so much that you even provided the need that we had to have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We pray that as we go from this place, that our lives would reflect the sense of joy and peace that comes from serving you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.